welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me as we conclude the message that I've been sharing on God's pattern for revival, found in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapters 29 through 32, basically an outline of what Hezekiah during his reign. And what we see was, just by way of quick review, there was a cleansing of the temple, which refers to repentance. There was a focus on the rededication of the temple. There was sin and burnt offerings that were given, and that is a new dedication of God's people. There was a focus for us in New Testament times on Calvary, what Jesus has done, and this was the call of the leadership to remind the God's people of the importance of these two things, of consecrating to God, of repenting from sins. And then we see the response of the people, that there was an overwhelming response of the congregation with peace and thank offerings. And then, as we look on in what occurred in this wonderful time of rejoicing in the day of Hezekiah, they held what was called a Passover. And this, for us, in today's New Covenant, in the time in which we're living, refers to proclaiming the gospel. In chapter 30, verse 1, let me share the word. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So what do we see? The letters that he wrote revealed a great concern for God's honor and welfare regarding the neighboring kingdom. What do we see in verse 10? It says, "So the post passed from the city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But sadly, they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, some had ears to hear. Divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation." Now, the appropriate time for the Passover was the first month, but since that time had passed, the king and people, after conference together, resolved to take advantage of a specific provision in the Mosaic Law, which was Numbers 9:9-11, to keep the feast in the second month. And in this hastily arranged celebration, some things were done out of strict accordance with the Law of Moses. For example, the Levites assisted in killing the offerings, and they were given prominence in that they acted for those who'd not gone through the full ritual of purification. Thus, the priests and Levites united for the service of the Passover. Remember, some of the priests were a little slack in doing that. The Levites responded more willingly. And of course, many were not ceremonially clean, and they were not allowed to share in the feast. The seven-day feast of unleavened bread followed, and this look at this. This is the first time since the division of the kingdom under Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, that both Israel and Judah assembled together to worship God in the temple. And the king's prayer was sufficient to allow them to approach God. Let's hear what he prayed. This is that 30th chapter, verses 18 through 20. at the end of verse 18. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people." And there was a 2-week celebration reminiscent of Solomon's temple dedication. There was much gladness and singing and prayers of confession and praise to God. True worship, beloved, is always associated with a correct attitude of heart and mind. And healing is associated not only with forgiveness, but with comfort and peace. A beautiful passage in Isaiah 58. And 18 says, "I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and his mourners." Another beautiful passage found in Malachi 4:2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Praise God. So, beloved, they had a wonderful festival, a wonderful time of proclaiming the gospel, if you will, because in the Passover, it is a beautiful declaration of what Jesus has done for us. I don't know if you've ever attended a Seder, but it really is all about Jesus. Now, many Jewish folks don't realize that, but it is all about the Passover lamb, the perfect lamb who was Jesus. And so what do we see? So far, we've seen repentance, the cleansing of the temple. There was a rededication of the temple, which is, for us, a focus on Calvary and a new consecration. We see the response of the congregation, which was body involvement, a tremendous response, peace and thank offerings. There was a proclaiming of the gospel or the Passover, a calling into all of Israel to come and join. And finally, we see there is the immediate result of the Passover, the final part of the Reformation, the last part in God's pattern for revival, was a purging of the land, which is indeed revival. At the close of the second week, the congregation was dismissed by the priests and Levites with a solemn blessing. And that's, of course, part of the priestly duty as prescribed in Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Let's read in verse 27. "Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven." Now I want to read verse 1 of chapter 31. "Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out," listen to this, "to the cities of Judah, and brake the images in pieces, and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also, and Manasseh, until they utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities." So we see that the zeal and enthusiasm was not over when the great meeting at Jerusalem concluded the Passover. The people went forth from the place of blessing to put away the things offensive to God throughout all the land. The spirit of burning, beloved, will destroy the dross of corruption. Idolatry was destroyed throughout the kingdom. And beloved, if today we can respond and we can say, "Yes, Lord, all things are possible to him. You know what, he's the same yesterday and forever." If we will respond to him in obedience, in humility of heart and dedication, God will hear the prayers of his people. And it's his desire, it's his will that people be saved. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish. So what is God's pattern for revival? It's simply repentance. It is a new consecration, focusing on Calvary, what Jesus did for us. There's our personal involvements in terms of laying down our lives as a living sacrifice. Remember, the people brought peace and thank offerings in abundance. Then we need to be willing to proclaim the gospel, which was done in their day through the Passover. And then, as we do this, there will be revival in the land. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's a good thing to share the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, in the moments that remain, I'd like to just take a few moments to minister to you and share just a portion of a letter that came in recently from a brother writing in Oregon. And he says, "Dear Sister Judith," he says, "I want to let you know how much your kind words concerning that which he had shared with me lifted me up and filled my heart with joy. I also would like to let you know how much your 21-day fast has inspired me to make my own sacrifices for atonement. I don't know you personally, but I love you as my sister. P.S. He says, "Thank you so much for being there for all of the lonely people as we join together as God's own family of believers." That's a beautiful sentiment, because there are many, I know this radio broadcast stretches past the Canadian border, and there are those that are listening, faithful listeners in metropolitan areas, but also there are tiny, small little towns where there's not even churches. In fact, I know of one place I'm thinking of, the sisters written recently, and they don't have a church. They're in home meetings. And so God uses this broadcast to encourage and inspire the hearts of others, as well as to be a ministry of prayer. And so if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give you that contact information at the close of the broadcast. But I just want to take a moment just to pray for you. God knows your needs, and I want you to just hold on to the Lord. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy defeat or discourage you. If he can discourage you, that's a sure way to bring defeat. Father, I ask you, Lord, for your spirit of comfort and encouragement to every listener. Lord, just touch their spirits. Lord, minister to their physical, emotional, mental, circumstantial needs. Let them know, God, that you are their all-sufficiency, that you will not leave nor forsake them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. For the word of the Lord would say, "My beloved, I will pour out my spirit upon you in such a degree it will seem like a downpour, and this downpour will wash away the pollution and the stains of this world system, as well as the testings that have come from the enemy. My light is shining upon you, and you shall rejoice. I'm pouring out my spirit upon you, and I will renew you and strengthen you from this day forward. Believe me, trust me, and praise me, for in so doing, you will see the moving of the Lord that will be astonishing. My word shall enter into your spirit as never before. Blessed are those who believe, for these are the days in which I shall perform all the words that I've spoken. No longer will my people look at the conditions in their community and in their state and in their nation and cry out in desperation and say, 'How can this be changed?' For I will move by my delivering and restoring powers, says the Lord." Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been a blessing to minister to you. I invite you to tune in next time as we share the good things of the Lord. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.